have a little fun with Super Bowl Sunday. So we sang On the Winning Side. After Steve preaches tonight, we're going to sing I'll Sail Away Home. Well, we're going to sing a couple songs tonight about victory, but we're going to give the choir a chance to come down. So like we did this morning, if you feel comfortable that you won't spread some disease, go ahead and shake hands and be friendly, but let's let the choir come down.
Everybody find you a sitting down spot somewhere close where you like to sit. And it's so good to see you back at church tonight. I think you all know about Pastor Miss Judy being sick with the flu, but just in case somebody's watching by live stream that didn't know, that's why they're not here tonight. And so anyway, continue to pray for them. They did watch the service this morning. We got some good comments on the whole service, so we appreciate all of that very, very much. And we want to open with prayer tonight. And so let's go ahead and bow for prayer, okay? Father, thank you for the blessing of being back at church tonight. Lord, there's no place I'd rather be right this moment than right where I'm at. And I know everybody in this church house has the same testimony. Some are sick tonight, Lord, and they would wish the same thing, that they could be right here. But Lord, I pray that you'll have your presence manifest amongst us. Lord, I know you're here. But Lord, help us to worship and to sing and to pray and to listen like we believe you're right here with us, Lord. And Lord, we look forward to the opportunities to come in the service now. Should there be anybody here that's maybe unsaved, Lord, let tonight be the night of salvation. Or maybe there's a discouraged or defeated Christian for some reason. Help them get victory tonight, and we'll praise your name. In Christ's name, amen.
All right, a song we don't sing a lot, 174, let's stand and sing, Faith is the Victory, 174. All right, if you know it, sing out now. Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise, and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in veils below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. His banner over us is love, our sword. With shouts of triumph trod, by faith they like a whirlwind's breath swept on o'er every field. The faith by which they conquer death is still our shining shield. Faith is the victory. Faith. that overcomes the foe, white raiment shall be given. Before the angels he shall know his name confessed in heaven. Then onward from the hills of light, our hearts with love aflame, will vanquish all the host of night in Jesus' conquering name. Faith is a victory. Faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world.
Good singing. You can be seated. All right, we're going to get Brian to come on up here and give us some good announcements. And if he doesn't mention it, I will. Brother Shelton has to work tonight, so he can't be here. But I want to encourage all of you, before you leave tonight, make sure you've got 10 or 12 or so tracks on you, in your purse, in your car, in your pockets, somewhere. Make sure you've got some. There's plenty out here in the front where Joaquin has stamped a bunch more. And so they're out there. What's that, Joaquin? Okay. Okay. And so this one, How to Get Rich Quick. Now, we all want to read that one, don't we? And that's one I've been giving out lately. It's really been getting people's attention. But it says, How to Get Rich. Then it says, And Keep It. And so, a little catchy thing like that. And you won't be surprised. People will read stuff like that. And so, so get you some tracks back there. And Brian, you come on.
All right, don't fail to get involved in all the things we got going on over here in the next several weeks. Be back for the service Wednesday night, of course, at 7 o'clock. Hope everyone here is also here on Wednesday night for a regular service. The youth will have their meeting at Gethsemane Baptist this Friday at 7 o'clock, and then Saturday at 10 o'clock. Both times, there'll be a group leaving here from the church. So I think y'all met this morning and maybe work some of that out. You got something? Okay. Because of the small number that may need to meet here, they probably won't meet here unless you call them and tell them. And I can speak for them. If you call them and tell them you want to meet them here, they certainly will. So you make sure to let Brother Shelton and Miss Brenda know exactly how your riding arrangement needs to be for you to get there. That's Friday at 7 and then Saturday at 10 a.m. Then the youth lock-in is the 23rd and 24th. That's Friday night / Saturday morning. Pulling the all-nighter. I know they got a couple good Christian movies they're going to pull up here on the screen. And there'll just be a lot of good stuff for your young people. So keep that date marked on the calendar and make sure they're available to come. This coming Saturday, 4 o'clock, is the bridal shower for Miss Brittany. So you ladies, make sure every one of you is here so you can celebrate with her on her wedding coming up. The Rusty Anchors will meet not this Tuesday, but the next one. That's February 13th at 10 o'clock here at the church. So you Rusty Anchors, be there for that. Jubilee pledges next Sunday. Don't forget about that. The Lord's always faithful to provide everything we need for Jubilee, and He does that through you. So make sure that you pray and seek the Lord's face and what you have to give. Let me also mention this. We didn't, of course, as you know, we kind of canceled everything this past weekend because of the sickness. But we will plan to have Stowing Saturday again. That'll be 2 weeks from yesterday. So, men, keep that in mind. That'll be the 17th of February. I believe that's the right date. So, men, mark that in your calendar and be here for that. All right, Brother Tim.
All right, well, everybody's favorite song about victory, number 341. Let's stand and sing Victory in Jesus, 341. Everybody take a hymnal and join us. Sing out now.
I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved the air, I knew Him. cleansing flood. I heard about His healing, of His cleansing power revealing, how He made the lame to walk again, and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and brought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is through Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing.
Right, I know you know the chorus, so we get down to the chorus on that last verse. Close your books, look up, and really sing out, okay? I heard about a mansion together.
I heard about a mansion He's built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. About the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is through Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood.
Good singing. You can be seated.
All right. Let me say, by the way, Sister Martha Richardson called me a little bit ago, and she's just wasn't really feeling all that well this morning. And she got home, and it was wet, and her something about her feet, and she's just not feeling good. And so she asked the church to please pray for her tonight. So pray for Martha Richardson. Pray for Pastor Miss Judy. And Miss Judy, I guess, is still not feeling well, Brother Sonny. And a lot of those are watching live stream now. So we're praying for everybody. And so y'all get well and get back in church real soon. And we appreciate that. Okay? All right. Brother Tim talked about the Super Bowl. And, you know, I don't care who wins it. I could care less, actually. I might watch it a little bit, but I don't care about it that much. But I told the choir this, and I just thought it was kind of funny. I really came out yesterday to change the church sign, and I intended to, but it was cold, and I wasn't feeling too good. And I said, well, I'm just not going to deal with it. I'm just going to change it one day next week. But I had the letters and the numbers ready to go. I was going to change it. And here's what I was going to put on the sign. On the top, number times mentioned in Bible. Eagles, 34. Patriots, 0. Now, whether that's a forerunner of what the score might be, I don't think so. But I just thought, I like that. I have to think about that next year. All right. And so we appreciate the sign ministry. All right. Time to take up the offering tonight if you weren't able to give this morning, but you're ready tonight. Get that out. And the fellows are coming up to receive that tithe and offering tonight. And we appreciate your faithful giving to the Lord. We sure do. All right, Brother Ed Shaw, why don't you pray for this offering, okay?
All right. Well, right before Brother Steve comes tonight, Casey, come in to sing for us.
I really enjoy this song. It speaks of the gospel very much in it, and it's a very powerful song.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measures, that He should to give His only Son, to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of fearing loss! The Father turns His face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon His shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice fall out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held Him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything. No gift, no power, no wisdom. But I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from His reward? Take my ransom.
All righty, great message again to that song. Well, if you had to take away one thing Steve said this morning, what would it be? Jesus might come before I finish this sentence. It's always good to kind of remember a sermon based on maybe just one little statement, Steve. But listen, take your Bibles and listen now to what he has for us tonight.
Thank you, Brother Tim. I really appreciate that. As most of you know, I do most of my preaching in nursing homes. And I've learned down through the years, I've been active in nursing home ministries for 40 years, but particularly since we got back to Columbia in 1995, we've tried to be faithful to minister in nursing homes for all these years since. And I'm thrilled that we have a second team now that goes out. Brother Tyndall and a good team of people go up to Springdale Nursing Home in Camden on every first Sunday. And that thrills my heart, Brother Tyndall, that you guys do that. It's a blessing. And you know what? I get calls every couple of weeks or so. Can you come here? Can you come here? Can you come here? And we're just doing the best we can. And but what a blessing. But one thing I've learned about nursing home ministry, you know, when people get older, Brother Ralph, and they get really older, right? You know, I've heard people say this, that sometimes they enter their second childhood, you know, and I don't know about that. But what I do know is this, that when you're preaching or ministering to elderly people, if you can say something repetitiously and a short phrase like that, that'll help them to remember that. And then when they leave out and go back to their rooms or down the hallway or whatever they do, I'm told by the staff at the nursing home that after we're gone, they're repeating that. They're saying that. And they do for a long time after that. Remember, was it the church or the Sunday school class I told about? The guy said, Merry Christmas, you know. And he kept telling me that for years until he died. He never forgot that, and I haven't either. But we appreciate the ministry in the nursing home more than you know. And here's a message that I brought to the nursing home one time. It's been many years ago, and I said, I'm just going to bring that to the church tonight because it's we've all got a little bit older, haven't we? and I hope this will be a blessing to you. I want you to take your Bible and turn to Proverbs chapter number 6. Proverbs chapter number 6. It's a blessing to be able to come to church. And knowing when you get here, you're going to see some smiling faces and good fellowship and hear from the Word of God. And it's just a blessing. And we appreciate all of you so very much. And Pastor, you, Miss Judy, y'all get better now. Get well and get here Wednesday night so you can preach. And I don't know if they'll be done with the flu by then or not, but I hope so. I sure do. All right. Turn to Proverbs chapter number 6. And look with me at verse number 20. My son, chapter 6 and verse 20, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Now, you parents, you're going to say, amen, amen, amen. Let me repeat that verse. My son, Proverbs 6:20, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. And then one more verse in verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the ways of life. You know, so much time has gone by down through the years. I cannot remember how long ago this was, but I was teaching a Sunday school class at the other church many years ago of young people. And I always say, look, if there's something you want me to teach from the Bible, just let me know and we'll pray about it and see if the Lord will let us teach it. And a young lady in the class, a teenage girl, said, Mr. Steve, can you teach on, and she said such and such. I'm not going to tell you what it was. She said, can you teach on such and such? I said, I'm not sure that's in the Bible sufficiently, and I don't know if it's in the Bible at all, but if it is, let me ponder that and pray about that, and I'll do my best, and if the Lord will let me. Well, when I got home that night, I said, is that in the Bible? What she wants me to teach, is that in the Bible? And I pulled my Bible out, my concordance and all that. Didn't have computers back then, so just had to do it the hard way with the good old Strong's Concordance. And sure enough, I found some thoughts in the scripture on what she wanted me to teach, or asked me to, if I'd be willing to teach that. And so sure enough, after a few Sundays, I brought the lesson to the class, and that was that. But what I emphasized that morning in that Sunday school class is that this is a topic, and again, it doesn't matter what it was, it's just something she had an interest in. If it's in the Bible, I have an interest in it. But she did. And I said, but the main thing, young lady and class students in this class, look, if it's not clearly in the Bible, ask your mom and dad what they think about that. Now, that's if mom and dad are spiritual-minded people. Ask your mom and your dad what they think about that. And as far as I'm concerned, whatever your mom and dad say, that's the law you should obey. That's it. And I found that right here in Proverbs chapter number 6. And I want to read that couple of verses again. In verse 20, my son, keep thy father's commandment. Now I want to preface it by this. Father's commandment should line up with God's commandment. And look, if it doesn't, then don't keep God's commandment. I mean, don't keep Father's commandment. Forgive me. You didn't hear that, Pastor, did you? All right. Father's commandment and mother's commandment, if they're spiritual minded now, will line up with God's commandment. Yeah. And, you know, and should be. And so, keep thy father's commandment, forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart. And here's the little phrase I want to preach on tonight, where it says, and tie them about thy neck. I said, what in the world? And when I first read that, I kind of pictured it like this. I should have made a couple of signs like Brother Cedric did the other night, where he held up those pictures, you know. But I can imagine Dad handing his teenage daughter, thou shalt not something, if it lines up with the Bible, and writing that on a piece of paper and putting a little chain about it and telling his daughter, look, you put that around your neck, and when you leave the house, that's what I want you to walk around like this, with that thing tied around your neck. And so I kind of pictured it like that. But I want to take it a little bit different tonight, and I want to preach to you for a few minutes on this. My spiritual necktie. My spiritual necktie. Now, I'm looking out tonight at our fellas, and some of them are wearing neckties. Some of them, Brother Tim, are wearing neckties, and you wish you didn't have to. Okay? And some of you fellas are not wearing a necktie, and you're saying, I'm not wearing one. Amen. And that's fine. The Bible doesn't say thou must wear a necktie to church. The Bible Now, if my dad told me to do that, I'd do it. But I said, Dad, look, the Bible don't say that. But anyway, some of us wear a necktie to church. When I lived in Greenville and worked at Tabernacle Baptist Church up there in the ministry, I had to wear a necktie about every day I lived. You remember that, Gail? And I didn't wear one on Saturday because we didn't have many obligations on Saturday. But Monday through Friday and then Sunday, I wore a necktie every day I lived. When the Lord led us back to Columbia and we got a job at Blue Cross Blue Shield, as you know, I've worked there still. Can y'all believe in August I'll be at Blue Cross for 23 years? That's hard to believe. Ralph, I'm getting older too. Not as old as you. But when I started working at Blue Cross, and I'm getting to a point on this, so y'all just bear with me. You know what? I was accustomed to wearing a necktie, so off to Blue Cross I'd go with my necktie on every day. And I'd be working there, and I thought it odd that I was the only one wearing a necktie. My manager didn't. His boss didn't. His boss didn't. His boss didn't. The president of the company didn't. I mean, nobody wore a necktie. And I came to the conclusion, what in the world am I wearing this necktie for? And so the next day I said, Gail, I ain't wearing no necktie at work anymore. But every now and then I have to for things, but I quit doing that. And so now the only time I really wear a necktie is when I go to church. And so that's that. But I was thinking about our text in Proverbs 6 tonight, where the son, the child, this could be a daughter. And look, I'm trying to liken this necktie to being the Word of God. And we're all God's, if you're saved now, you're God's child, aren't you? I said, if you're saved, you're God's child. Everybody ain't God's children. If you're born again, you are. And so this message is to the saved people tonight, for the most part. And here's an admonition to the son or the daughter of God. And that is, keep thy father's commandment. All right? Your father being God the Father in heaven. Keep that commandment. And of course, we all know that we ought to obey the Word of God. What does the Bible say? Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. And look, it's no secret that we ought to obey the word of God. How much of the word of God should we obey? Well, all of it. All right. And we should obey it with joy in our heart and with the desire to do that. And we should. Well, I want to give you a thought about that. I was thinking about father and mother in Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 12. You don't need to turn there unless you just want to. You know this verse where the Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother. Do y'all believe that? Children, you young people, the Bible says, and I'm trying to look at all the young people tonight, all right? The Bible says, and Dante, this goes for grandma and grandpa too, honor thy father and thy mother. And why? The Bible says there in Exodus that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And then in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2, it's repeated in the New Testament, and it reads this way, honor thy father and mother. And then there's a parenthetical piece of information, and it says, which is the first commandment with promise. So there it is in the Bible, young folk, and look, moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas, we need to teach our children to do this. It's a commandment with promise that thy days may be long upon the land. I want to live a long time, don't you? I do. If God will let me, I want to live until Jesus comes back. And you know what? He might come back before I finish this sentence. But until he comes back, I want to live. I enjoy life, don't you? I enjoy living for the Lord. Yeah, it's got its bumps and trials and troubles and valleys. It's got all that stuff. But listen, for every valley, there's two hillsides, aren't there? Two mountaintops for every valley. I enjoy living. All right? And if God can let me have a fair measure of health, you know, and look, in these nursing homes, you see, they're not in a nursing home because they want to be. They're there because they're old, they're sick, different things. But listen, if you get into the nursing homes, you'll find people that have the joy of the Lord in their heart. Yeah, puts me to shame. It really does. And so here's the commandments to honor father and mother. But now again, I want to turn this around a little bit and talk about how we ought to obey our Heavenly Father. We ought to. And again, I want to preach to you these few thoughts on my spiritual necktie. Now, I'm wearing a tie tonight. Gail, does it look all right? Do I need to tighten it up a little bit? All right. Let me give you, here's five things about this. And this is very simple, and so I can understand it. Number one, here's the first point. Some of these have scriptures and some of them don't. But here's number one. A necktie, here's why we ought to gladly wear a spiritual necktie. Number one, a necktie gets in our way sometimes. And what I mean by that, I'll be eating at a restaurant somewhere, and my tie will be kind of just right there on the table. And Gail will say, you're going to get food all over your tie. I said, well, I might. I don't want to. But sometimes accidents happen, don't they? And so put that tie down. You know, get that tie out of the way. Well, let me just take it off. And sometimes a necktie can get in our way. And here's what I mean by that. The Word of God sometimes gets in the way of a carnal-minded Christian. The Word of God, like a necktie, can get in the way of what a person not living for the Lord may want to do. the Word of God can mess your plans up. The necktie can get in the way of things, like the Word of God can get in the way of you wanting to go somewhere you shouldn't go, say something you shouldn't say, do something you shouldn't do, think something you shouldn't think. Look, in everything, I mean, we just got to do what God wants us to do, don't we? In everything. And sometimes, look, I'm preaching to myself too, right here. I am. Sometimes this flesh gets in the way. Like that necktie gets in the way of my nice looking suit of clothes that I like to wear to church on Sunday. Well, the necktie gets in the way. Well, here's my advice to you. It's a good thing when the Word of God messes up your carnal plans. It's a good thing when the Word of God gets in the way of you not doing what God wants you to do. And instead of moaning and complaining and grumbling about God convicting your heart about something, listen, if I were you, I'd just take that spiritual necktie and tighten it up a little bit more. I should start this message by loosening the thing up a little bit. You'll see where I'm going in a minute. But if that necktie, if the Word of God gets in your way, the best thing you can do is tighten it up a little bit and let it get in the way some more. Well, that's number one. All right, pretty simple, isn't it? All right, number two. A necktie can sometimes be uncomfortable. Brother Tim, that's why you don't like to wear neckties, isn't it? Very uncomfortable. When I'm telling you, when church is over, Brother Tim, it's like he's setting a world record for how fast he can get his tie off. Because it's uncomfortable about his neck. And that's okay, Brother Tim. I don't like it either. But listen, a necktie can sometimes be uncomfortable, especially when it's tight around your neck. Well, that's just like the Word of God, isn't it? Listen, when I read in the Bible, thou shalt this, when I'm in the nursing home, I say, if the Bible says, thou shalt, what should you do? And they say, thou shalt. If the Bible said, thou shalt not, what should you do? And they say, thou shalt not. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Well, if thou shalt, even if you don't like it, thou shalt anyway, shouldn't you? If thou shalt not and you don't like it, well, thou shalt not anyway. Sometimes the Word of God can be uncomfortable. Now, it ought not to be for a person that's living for the Lord and a person that's faithful and a person like this morning's outline, all them things, a person that's spiritual. The Word of God will not be uncomfortable. It'll fit just right, won't it? Matter of fact, listen, if you're really in tune with the Lord and want to do what God wants you to do, you want to tighten that thing up a little bit more and say, Lord, just let it get tighter as it can be. And let me just follow in your plan for my life and obey the Word of God. So a necktie can be uncomfortable. And sometimes the Word of God is uncomfortable to us if we're not doing what God wants us to do. Sometimes it's like that. Well, that's number two. Number three, a necktie takes practice to get it right. You know what I'm saying? Now, I'm not going to do this because I'm on live stream. But when I preached this at the nursing home a few years ago, you know what I did? I took my tie off. And they're looking at me like that, you know. I thought, all right, let's see if I can put it back on without looking. So I closed my eyes and tight, and I'm putting my necktie back on. Well, can you imagine what it looked like when I got done with it? Well, it wasn't right. I said, well, you know what? I got to take it off and start over. I said, let's try it again. And we tried it again, and it still wasn't right. You know what I did? Took it off and tried it again. And after three or four times, we got it looking pretty good. And then people, they just clap in, you know, it looks good. Well, a necktie, if we're going to wear one, it ought to look right, shouldn't it? Well, a necktie takes practice to get it right. And look, in my Christian life, look, Brother Tim's right about that. Practice doesn't make perfect. You tell me, practice makes permanent. And would to God all of us would get into the Word of God, the spiritual necktie, and practice it, and practice it, and practice it, and practice it, until it becomes what? Permanent in our life. Until it becomes right in our walk with the Lord. Look, the first time I read something in the Bible, I didn't necessarily just automatically start doing it then. But the second time I read it, the Holy Ghost tugged at my heart and said, look, you already read that once. How come you're not doing it yet? And then I had to read it a third or a fourth time. And I'm telling you, after four or five or six times of God telling me to read that scripture and practice that and do that, we tried to make it permanent in our life. And so that's like living for the Lord. Look, the Bible, I mean, you can just pick anything you want to pick. The more you do it, the easier it becomes to do it, doesn't it? Yeah. Somebody told me this one time. If you miss church one Sunday, and I'm not talking about being sick, not talking about being with the flu or something like that, but if you just lay out of church, just lay out, all right, one Sunday, well, that's bad enough, isn't it? That's bad enough. All right, the next Sunday, you say, I missed last Sunday. Nobody called me. Nobody seemed to care. I'm just going to lay out again. And you lay out the second time. And the third Sunday comes around. And I heard an aged preacher say this one time. Here's what he said. If you do it the third time, it's going to be hard for you ever to get into the practice of going to church faithfully again. And there's something about that, I think. Listen, you need to read the Word of God. How often? Every day. Get into the practice of it. And the more you do it, guess what? The easier, the more enjoyable, the more blessing you get, the joy in your heart. The more you do it, the more you repeat it, to practice it, it'll just become part of your life. It will. And as you do that, the necktie will get tighter and tighter and tighter around that neck. And it won't even hurt. It'll be a blessing to know that the Word of God is wrapped roundly about your neck. Well, the outline, number one, a necktie gets in our way sometimes. Number two, a necktie can be uncomfortable. Number three, a necktie takes practice to get right. And it does. All right? How about number four? And that, really, this is for me. It may not be for you, but it's for me. Something is missing when my necktie is not on. Look, I'm just not comfortable. Maybe I should be. I don't know. But I'm just not comfortable coming to church, really, unless I'm wearing a necktie. I'm just not. Say, and for a preacher, I know the Bible doesn't say you have. I know that. I'm just talking about me. You understand that now, don't you? I'm just talking about me. And if I've got on a suit of clothes that Gail's carefully laid out for me, but Gail, let's say one next Sunday morning, Gail forgets to get my tie out. Well, I'll be putting my clothes on and my pants and my shirt and my shoes and socks and all that. And you know what? I'm telling you, this will happen if Gail forgets to get the tie out. I'll look in the mirror. Now, I look bad enough as it is. And I need all the help I can get to help me look better. But I'll be looking in the mirror and I'll say, Gail, something's missing. And then Gail will jump up. You know, she'll say, I forgot to get your necktie. And she'll run into the other room there in the closet where I don't know how many ties have I got? 5,000? All right, maybe not that many. But, and she'll go get one. She, I just forgot to get your necktie. And when I get it, then I put it on. And I say, whew, that makes me feel a lot better. Now, that's just wearing a necktie. But what I'm trying to say is this. If I'm not wearing the Word of God about my heart, if I'm not wrapped in the Word of God and shod with the Word of God in my heart and in my life, something is not right. If I'm going out to this world to do things that I have to do to live and make a living and all that, but I leave the Bible at home, but not only that, I should be carrying scriptures in my heart. I should be carrying tracts in my pocket. But if I go out here into this world and I'm not prepared with the Word of God on my soul, I'm telling you, something is not right. And I'm trying to tell you tonight, if you try to face this world without having the Word of God in your soul, you're going to find out that something is not right in your heart and life. But if you'll go out to the world and to the job and to the public and facing the devil and fighting the battles of life, but you've got the Word of God wrapped around your neck, so to speak, listen, everything will be a whole lot better for you, and you'll have victory in your heart and in your life. So something's missing when my necktie is not on. All right, let me close with this one tonight. And here, I think some of you people can appreciate this. A necktie gets in our way. A necktie can be uncomfortable. A necktie takes practice to get it right. Something's missing when my necktie is not on. But number five, a necktie can be a thing of beauty. A necktie can be a thing of beauty. I'm looking out tonight. Brother Tim's got on a gold necktie. It's pretty, Brother Tim. It'll be off in a few minutes, won't it? Brother Gardner here, has got on a red necktie. When I see a red necktie, I think of the harlot Rahab in the Old Testament putting out that scarlet cord, you know. I think about that. Brother Joe, is that a necktie you're wearing? I'm not sure what they call it, but it looks nice. What is it? A shoestring, okay. And all that. But listen, look, Will Branham is the sharpest dressed person in this church. Will, you wouldn't come to church without a necktie on, would you? You might, I don't know. But what I'm trying to say is sometimes men will wear a necktie to church that's got scripture on it, that's got a cross on it. And most of you men probably have stuff like that. Or it's just pretty. It's beautiful. And there's something about a beautiful necktie wrapped around the neck of a child of God. There's something about that. Number one, that necktie is admired by others. Because, listen, if I ever wear a real pretty one, somebody's bound to say, Brother Steve, I like that necktie. And I like it when people say stuff like that. I do. And I'll take that as a compliment, and that's how I'll take it. I like it. A beautiful necktie is admired by others. It's noticed, isn't it? But number two, a beautiful necktie attracts others. If I'm wearing a real unusual, beautiful necktie, I've noticed that people will come to me, even at work, whenever I wear one at work, and they'll say something about it. It attracts others. Now, can you guess where I'm going with this? If you're wearing about your neck the commandments of your Father, the Word of God, and I'm talking spiritually now, if you go out into this world, into this public, the world will notice If the Word of God is part of your life, the world will notice if you're wearing a spiritual necktie. You know what I'm saying? And what it does, it's admired by others. Right, people will have something good to say. Look, if you're wearing the Word of God about yourself in a spiritual fashion, there'll be a smile on your face. There'll be joy in your heart. There'll be a blessing about you. There will. And the world will notice that. But more importantly, if you're wearing that spiritual necktie out here in the world, it's going to attract sinners, unsaved people. It's going to attract backslidden people back to seeing what the beauty of the Word of God can be in your heart and in your life. It will. And I look forward to opportunities to witness and to share the good things of the Lord. And look, if I'm wearing the Word of God about me, and I'm not talking about on a sign, and you could do that, I guess. But I'm here to tell you, if the Word of God is in your heart, it will show in your life. It will. It will. So, listen. Let's read those verses again. My son, verse 20, keep thy father's commandment. Amen, right? And forsake not the law of thy mother. Amen, right? Young people, right? That's right, Dante, right. Bind them, that is the commandment and the law. Bind them continually upon thine heart. The Bible talks about hiding the Word of God in your heart. And tie them about thy neck. Why don't you practice that? All right? I'm not saying next Sunday you have to wear a necktie to church. But here's what I am saying. When you come to church Wednesday night, Sunday school Sunday morning, Sunday night, or if you're out in the world going to work tomorrow, don't you leave home without the Word of God in your heart and tied about your neck spiritually, because there's a world out there that needs your testimony. They need to know something about the Jesus that's in your heart. And the only way I know to make sure they get it is to do exactly what the Bible says. Bind the Word of God upon my heart. Tie the Word of God about my neck. And let the world know there's a difference in your heart and in your life. My advice, tighten it up. Tighten it up. Tighten it up. Tighten it up. But then unloose it as soon as you can. Do you get it tonight? Simple thought. How important the Word of God is to all of us. Let's stand to our feet for a word of prayer. Everybody stand to your feet there. All right, come on, Brother Tim. Father, we come to thank you tonight for the Word of God. Lord, where would any of us be were it not for the Bible? Lord, it seems like so many Christians don't have the love for the Bible that they ought to, and they don't memorize it, and Lord, many don't even try to obey too much of it. But Lord, tonight, help us to have a renewed love for the Word of God. Help us to bind it upon our heart. And help us to tie it about our neck, so that when we're out there, the world will know that there's a difference in the heart and life of that person. Lord, there's a world that needs Jesus out there. And Lord, if we're not going to give it to them, nobody else will. So Lord, thank you for your blessings tonight. Now, while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, look, is there anybody that said, "Preacher, just pray for me"? Raise your hand. Preacher, pray for me. I see that young man's hand. Anybody, preacher, pray for me. I see that. Just pray for me that I'll really determined to let the Word of God rule in my heart and my life. Pray for me. Father, you saw the hands. You know the need. In Jesus' name, amen.